This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Polinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt. And on tonight's program, it's Queer Music Heritage. JD is going to bring us some songs that he has been meaning to play. It's going to be all kinds of music and mini interviews. That's mini interviews with nine artists. And that's in our second hour. In the first hour, news wrap and Stephen Peacock, the Vice President of Outreach for Assist Hers. And, of course, we also have some announcements about things going on in the community. And first up, it's going to be Brad Odom, President of Pride Houston, with a look at what went on with 2008 and what's coming up in 2009. That's tonight on Queer Voices.
And we also want to make an announcement that after this evening, we'll be gone for 2 weeks because of the conventions. We'll be back in the second week of September, and there's a number of things that are going on, including a conference on the aging in the GLBT community that we would really like to be able to cover extensively, because that's a subject coming up. We want to thank everybody who donated last week. We actually made 101% of our goal, which is very nice, and hopefully everybody will fulfill that so that we can continue here on KPFT and providing the type of programming that we'd like to provide you all. Remind you also that now that our show is on from 9 to 11, it may not be that easy for everybody to listen to. You can actually download the show on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and do a search for Queer Voices, two words, or KPFT, and it will be done automatically for you, and you can either listen on your computer or hook it up to your stereo or put it onto one of your MP3 playing devices. And you can keep copies of them, so you can actually archive them. So up first now, we have Brad Odom here with us. And we got finished with 2008, and I guess you're ready to start working on 2009.
We are underway, definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about 2008. I know you had some challenges, including money and volunteers.
There were no staff. No staff, a few volunteers, and after the year before, even a little bit of a confidence from the community problem. We had to really do a rebuilding year, and just kind of some basic statistics that came out. We had the festival was free and open to the public, as we had talked about before, and that actually sold out. We had an estimated 75,000 people from the city of Houston said actually were able to attend the festival due to it being free and being able to people to flow in and flow out of it. And our usual kind of numbers of around 150,000 people to actually attend the parade. We started out $25,000 in debt and wound up and actually had burnt out $40,000 that we had in cash the year before. So really, it was a negative $65,000 over budget from the year before. We've paid back 100% of all of our debt. We have $20,000 in the bank that can pay for our offices and everything going forward all the way into next year. So
Terrific. Thank you.
So really in a nice, comfortable position to be back up on our feet. Literally looking at the budget right now, this September becomes budgeting. I've kind of told everybody, if you want your budgets to fit or be approved easily, just copy and paste, and we'll try to do the same thing next year, and then maybe add on a few things, and hopefully getting in, off the positive momentum of this past year, that we can really get some. We've already gotten some new sponsors that want to come on board, so looking forward to a really great 2009.
That's great. Hopefully new banners too.
Hopefully some new banners.
Yes, they're a little bit aged out there, but. But they're there. We have banners. There's a banner district that Pride Houston owns.
Yes, yes, and that will stay up until the end of August, and then it'll be coming on, coming down at the end of August. It was a couple of weeks late going up, so we decided we're going to keep it up a couple extra weeks before we take it down. So that's why those flags are still there, but you will notice there are a few missing, and that is a goal personal of mine, that next year that they're all there and they don't look so aged, and that we can fly those flags a little more proudly.
And hopefully they'll be in compliance, too.
The other things that we had go on this year were Pride Idol was very successful the second year. David Bermudez was a winner this year, very talented man. And then we had the new event, H-Town Strip, which actually gave, we were able to donate $1,500 out to AIDS Foundation Houston. So kind of a new change, and one of our goals is to continue to be able to give back to the community, and we did that this year. Looking into the fall here, we've got another event that's our next fundraising event, which is the Coming Out Day. It is on here October 11th, and the location will be announced on our website. But the proceeds of that will be shared with the Montrose Counseling Center. So another great charity in our community.
So with this year being sort of a year to get things back in motion, what are some of the things you look forward in 2009?
Well, I think it was a big learning year for a lot of our committee chairs. We had turnover a couple of times within committee chairs. Our festival committee chair left. Eric Skanes stepped in right at the end and took over that role. Our parade chair left, months. There's two co-chairs, and I have to say, it was a great step up of a lot of people to actually pull it off this year, and everybody really stepped up. And what I call the amazing power of Pride is you get closer to it, people really come in, work together, a lot of teamwork, work a little bit closer, and it all gets pulled off, sometimes with a lot less sleep than I ever imagined being in this role and doing these things, but definitely, we saw some things lacking in along the parade route, and we've listened to the community that and I know there was an article or a letter to the editor in Outsmart regarding Hatch and people actually going up and reaching out and getting into the street and not being contained behind the barriers. And there's a few things that we've already defined and decided how to better control that, different barriers, also more staff and volunteers along the parade route.
Maybe razor wire?
Maybe.
Just kidding.
Maybe. The suggestion was don't throw things out. And that's actually the individuals actually pay to throw things out as an extra. So, it may be something that if people want to share their pride, and we're going to do everything we can to keep that from being an issue, but that may be, maybe something that they not have something that's throwing out.
Right. I mean, that's something that sort of has added pizzazz to the Pride Parade over the years. The city's never been really happy with them doing it because of the safety issues. Luckily, there's been no real safety issue problems, but as the parade gets bigger and people just can't understand what a barricade's for and climb over them.
I snagged about a six-year-old out from in front of a float as it was coming down the road and rushing him back over to his parents, and the parents were like, "What did you do? Why did you make him come back over here?" I'm like, "Yeah, there are barricades for a reason. It's for the safety of everybody, both the performers out and the people in the parade, as well as the viewers of the parade."
Well, that's why you have wheel walkers.
Yeah.
To keep that from happening.
Yeah. And having parade route monitors. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes, you have those wheel walkers and they get all the way into the parade and that's... They feel it's just as well to get on and ride as well, and so there's some of those things.
I never did. I walked the whole way.
So I think if we have a few more monitors to help remind people that they need to do that, we have more staff and more volunteers, which is one of the challenges every year. We go all year with 25 or less people. Sometimes it feels like five trying to make it all happen. And then you have to really ramp up to 200, 250, 300 people the day of. It's a chore to get everybody together and get everybody to step up. So we ask people to go out to our website, sign up, and we'll try to keep tabs on you. But as it gets closer to Pride next year, I invite anybody who wants to be a board member, who wants to be a committee chair, this is the time. September 12th and 13th is our retreat. We're actually going to have it at the Pride office. And spend both days a little bit of history about Pride, but a lot of about changes, and we pick the theme for the new year at that point in time, and we recommend people to get involved before that, so we get you into a role and get you able to participate.
So how can people get in contact with Pride to become part of working, volunteering?
Best way is to go on our website, and if you want to get a little sneak peek, we have it's www.pridehouston.org, but we do have our new website. It's actually up in test mode. It's test.pridehouston.org. So everybody go out, hit it, and make it fail or something, so that we see some errors, and we'll try to get all those fleshed out. But I'm expecting that the new website will be fully functioning and running in the next few weeks, and that's a nice new fresh look. I always say we're the gay community, and we're graphically designed, inclined, and we're creative, and yet our website doesn't exactly show it. So we've got a new website that hits all of those things. We're real proud of. Some other things that we really getting in early this year. There were some things like the health tent, which is historically done HIV screening, and Legacy and Walgreens have normally collaborated on doing that. On both of their parts, there were challenges for them to pull it off. And Legacy, for example, and it made perfect sense to me that it can be challenging to actually do HIV screening in a public environment like that.
Sure.
It's great to tell all the people that are negative, they're negative. But for the one person, or the many people who are positive, finding out that they're positive
on Pride Day.
On Pride Day, right before parade, when drinking's happening, probably not the most socially responsible thing to be doing. It's good to be getting out to people, good to be educating people, but there might be, it might be more of, so we're having to revamp that for the new year, and maybe doing more education, and then having people come in for private screenings back at the Legacy office. So.
Usually there's been a history tent the past couple years, and I guess that something happened at the last
history tent. We didn't wind up getting the funding coming through, so we did get the Washington Mutual relationship in place, and we're able to show the exhibit at Washington Mutual. But definitely there's some other pieces that didn't get to be seen, and more that's definitely part of that exhibit, and we want to get that back, especially for all the people who were there on the parade day who are not necessarily there and able to go down to Washington Mutual.
The parade, everything went off on time, and the parade seemed to go with no gaps.
At least to the viewing stand.
Right.
I think once people get in the viewing stand, then they're doing their thing, and it's different timed, and so getting them back off and off the rest of the parade is it's another learning experience, and something that we'll have to work on and grow with. The festival went off without major incidents. The parade went off without major incidents. Any newspaper articles were good things. I have to say, that's probably one of the big, when you're throwing an event. I mean, this is the largest single day event in Houston. It's the largest GLBT event in the South. And you're talking about 150,000 people showing up for one day. It's a lot bigger than a wedding day. And all the things that could go wrong, and all the things that did go wrong, that we tried to make appear seamless and not have people see, in the end, just have a really nice, fun event for everybody.
And it didn't rain.
And it didn't rain.
Again.
So we're all doing something right. Because I know it wasn't me that got that way.
Well, and unfortunately, the sister city of Atlanta didn't have such a good year this year.
Yes.
And as much as you always try to work hard on these things, you never know what could happen. And one of their fallouts, of course, was the drought there, and they couldn't have their festival in the park where they usually have it, and so they had to hire the convention center, which really cost them a lot of money. And those variables are just tough things to deal with.
It's one of the things that when I saw what happened, I guess it was a year ago, 2 years ago, up in Seattle, it's made me very conservative in what's tried and true, and sticking with what we know, and trying not to go outside the box too much. That we always have a good celebration, we always bring everybody together in a positive atmosphere.
Well, that doesn't mean that you always have to look towards the future and see how things change.
Sure.
Because there are circumstances. I mean, what has always worked may not continue to work.
Right.
But, you know, there's always history, too, that you got to follow.
Yes. Yes, and I think as we explored options, the community said quite loudly that history and tradition would win out. And as we explored moving downtown, I questioned it mostly from a financial perspective, and I'm glad after the fallout of last year that we weren't committed to a lot of unknowns, as some of these other cities have learned, going to be challenges of renting the park or having to use services that sometimes are donated.
Well, exactly, and that's one of the things about volunteered.
Yes,
you know, when you're in certain venues, you have to pay for certain services that you've had volunteered before, mm-hmm. that you've been able to do. And it's not just Pride. It's every other organization. I mean, the Chamber did Empower for a number of years. And finally, they just gave up because it didn't work. And that's always a tough thing to do. Everybody thinks that, you know, it's probably easy to start an organization. It's harder to keep it going, I think. My editorial.
I think it was a lot more work than I thought I was setting out on, but I'm very happy. I went down the path, and I've enjoyed every bit of it, even some of the late nights, early mornings, and am offering myself to do it again. It is an elected position amongst the board. I think all the board and everybody coming in wants me to do it because they don't want to traditionally take on that responsibility just yet. It's always a good thing, though, in an organization to try to cultivate new leadership. And the next generation. Yeah,
yes.
as much as I love being a part of this and doing this, I'm sure there's other areas as I could grow and give advice and cultivate somebody else to come into Pride as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking for new friendly faces and some of the ones tried and true in the neighborhood and the community. To come on board, and some of the people that have been a leader in Pride before, but they've stepped out and mm-hmm. taken a break, and they're ready to get back involved. I know there's some people that were president of Pride many years ago that I've met, and other people who have had different roles in Pride that they stepped out, and it's always fun to have and meet people in mm-hmm. those regards.
So your planning is when for next year?
It's June 27th, 2009. So we'll have again probably a Friday night kickoff party.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday have the festival and parade as usual, and then we're completely planning on having H-Town Strip back again as well. Everybody had a good time. It was well received, and so it's just when you start something new, it wasn't as big as we may have seen in our eyes, in our heads. But once we got there, it was well attended, and will definitely grow, and the word will get out that it was a fun time had by all, and some potentially a little too fun by some people.
That happens too.
And for people to get involved, what's the best way to do that?
It's to go to pridehouston.org, or also I want to say that, as I mentioned, we're doing our theme selection of 2009. If you've got an idea, what you'd like to see, we're open to people making suggestions, and just email info@pridehouston.org.
Okay. And your planning session is when?
It's September 12th and 13th.
And how can people get involved in that?
I would get email info@pridehouston.org or sign up to volunteer on our website. And then we will have a board meeting prior to that. And then also committees are always meeting throughout the month.
So it's not a downtime then?
It's not a downtime at all. I officially took July off and attempted to take July off, and I still found myself going in. Right now, it's really critical that we get our theme set, that we get our budget set, that we get our plan set for the next year, get all our permits in, and then start getting, once you get your budget set, start getting fundraising in place. Corporate budgets are set in the fall, not in the spring, and so we have to get in front of all of our corporate sponsors that help mitigate the costs for the individual mm-hmm. entrance. So I mean, it couldn't be nearly what it is to be in the parade and do the parade if it wasn't for our corporate sponsors.
Yes. Brad Odom is president of Pride Houston, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Queer Voices.
You've been around me long enough to know, and now it's up to me, so I suppose I feel you now. What's wrong with you? The joke's on me.
That was Halcyon from 2001 and a CD titled Plugged, Stripped Down, and Live. JD asked me to play that for you because they will be at Chance's Bar Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 23rd, at 10 p.m. Again, they're going to be at Chance's Bar this coming Saturday, the 23rd, at 10 p.m. Coming up next on Queer Voices, it's News Wrap, followed by Steph Peacock from Outreach, from Assist Hers. This is Queer Voices.
I'm Steve Levin.
And I'm Mark Zecca.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 16th, 2008. Panama's president, Martin Torrijos Espino, has signed a decree repealing a 1949 law that punished consensual adult sodomy with a $500 fine or jail time. According to local media reports, the LGBT group New Men and Women of Panama and other human rights organizations had lobbied for the change. Also signed by Health Minister Rosario E. Turner, the decree said the law contravened the Panamanian Constitution and international human rights treaties that Panama has signed. It also conflicted with anti-discrimination policies of the Health Ministry's Sexually Transmitted Diseases Program. According to Amnesty International, 11 nations in Central America, South America, and the Caribbean continue to outlaw consensual adult same-gender sex. Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Trinidad and Tobago. All of those countries are former British colonies.
Ecuador's president, Rafael Correa, has defended a new draft constitution for his country that grants same-gender couples the rights of marriage, according to a report in El Telegrafo newspaper. The document faces a popular vote on September 28th. Jesus of Nazareth never preached hatred, homophobia, or segregation, Correa said during a speech in Monteverde. What we are doing, he continued, is recognizing the dignity of all people without discrimination based on race, sex, or sexual orientation. A poll released earlier this month found that 47% of the electorate plans to vote for the new constitution, while 31% said they reject it. A yes vote of more than 50% is required for passage.
Not as many same-gender couples are taking advantage of the Czech Republic's registered partnership law than when it first came into force 2 years ago, according to a recent report in the newspaper Pravo. From July 1, 2006 to the end of that year, 235 same-gender couples tied the knot, but only 105 couples have done so in the first half of this year. The report also said that the largest number of same-gender partnerships have been contracted in Prague, gay male couples have outnumbered lesbians, and there have been 9 same-gender couple divorces.
But the Australian Capital Territory's civil union law is being called a complete success, 3 months after it took effect. Even though only 23 same-gender couples have registered so far, it exceeds the 15 that the government had expected by this time, according to Territorial Attorney General Simon Corbell. He predicted with the onset of spring in Australia that even more couples would unite. The Civil Partnerships Act was passed by the ACT Legislative Assembly in May, after the territory agreed to a stipulation against formal ceremonies. Prime Minister Kevin Rudd's Labor government said they would contravene a federal law limiting marriage to heterosexual couples. Territory officials maintained that the ceremonies were a matter of equality, but faced with an override, they removed the contentious clause. The Civil Partnerships Act gives same-gender couples most of the rights married couples enjoy under territorial law. A third of Australia's 8 states and territories have varying laws providing some benefits to same-gender couples.
The umbrella group behind a proposed constitutional amendment to ban same-gender marriage in California, Proposition 8, has ended its fight over the wording that will appear on the November ballot. The so-called Protect Marriage Coalition said it made the decision this week after a state appeals court rejected their urgent appeal of a lower court ruling that upheld Attorney General Jerry Brown's revised title and summary of the measure. Further appeals wouldn't be heard in time to change the ballot wording before the November 4th vote. The measure was originally described as limiting marriage in California to a man and a woman. Brown changed the description to say that the proposed amendment would eliminate the right of same-gender couples to marry and that it could result in California losing tens of millions of dollars in tax revenues. Brown's office said that the original wording was written before the California Supreme Court struck down the state ban on same-gender marriage in May. Hundreds of lesbi-gay couples have since legally married there. Sacramento County Superior Court Judge Timothy Frawley had earlier ruled that, in light of the high court decision, the revised wording accurately summarized the impact of the proposition. Both sides of the issue have agreed that the revised language will make the measure more difficult to pass. Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger opposes the amendment and has promised to campaign against it.
Meanwhile, several pro-LGBT bills in California are awaiting Schwarzenegger's signature. He's refused to sign any new legislation until lawmakers pass a state budget, over which Democrats and Republicans have been bickering well past the date mandated for its passage. While the governor's signature on any of the lesbi-gay-related measures is far from certain, the state's leading LGBT rights group, Equality California, has celebrated recent passage of bills to strengthen the state's sexual orientation inclusive civil rights laws to protect LGBT seniors and LGBT children in foster care, to provide tax relief for same-gender couples, and to establish May 22nd, his birthday, as a day to honor pioneering LGBT rights leader and assassinated San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk. Right-wing opponents have reportedly been flooding Schwarzenegger's office with calls and emails specifically demanding that he veto that measure.
But Florida's Republican Governor Charlie Crist has announced his support for a proposed constitutional amendment on that state's November ballot that would ban any legal recognition of same-gender couples. The measure says, inasmuch as marriage is the legal union of only one man and one woman, no other legal union that is treated as marriage or the substantial equivalent thereof shall be valid or recognized. Florida law already limits marriage to heterosexual couples, but supporters of the amendment worry that it could be overturned in court. Opponents warn that the language of the amendment is so broad that it would also eliminate domestic partnerships where they're legal in the state. Those unions are also often favored by older opposite-gender couples because remarriage could jeopardize Social Security and other benefits. Activists in the state of Pennsylvania last month successfully fought efforts to place a constitutional amendment on the November ballot there to ban legal recognition of same-gender unions.
A U.S. federal appeals court this week rejected an attempt by opponents of Oregon's domestic partnership law to put a repeal initiative before that state's voters this November. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the determination of Secretary of State Bill Bradbury that a conservative group had failed to gather enough signatures to qualify the measure for the November ballot. Oregon's domestic partnership law allows same-gender couples and heterosexual couples unable to marry to form legally recognized unions, giving them hospital visitation rights and the right to make medical decisions for each other, to file joint state tax returns, and to have joint health insurance plans, and to take sick leave to care for their partner. It was passed by the legislature in 2007 after efforts to enact a marriage equality law were unsuccessful. Conservative groups immediately challenged the domestic partnership law in court, charging that it violated Oregon's constitutional ban on same-gender marriage. After those legal efforts failed, they began circulating petitions to place a repeal measure on the ballot. About 2,500 same-gender couples have registered as domestic partners in the state since the law took effect.
Elsewhere, LGBT people and their allies enjoyed Iceland's 10th annual Pride Festival in downtown Reykjavik on August 9th. Police estimated the crowd at 30 to 40,000. One of the organizers, Heimer Mar Pettersson, told local media that it was closer to a record 100,000 and that police can't count or they're counting wrong deliberately, but also commended their quick response to a bomb threat during the festival.
Inflammatory anti-lesbi-gay remarks by an Irish member of parliament probably inspired more people than expected to celebrate Pride in Belfast last week. An estimated 4,000 LGBT activists and their supporters marched in the parade despite bad weather. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown this week rejected calls for a formal censure of Irish MP Iris Robinson, who likened homosexuality to the sexual abuse of children during a parliamentary debate, and then during a radio interview called homosexuality disgusting, loathsome, nauseating, wicked, and vile. She also claimed that gays and lesbians could be cured and be heterosexual. In addition to serving in the British Parliament, Robinson is a member of the Northern Ireland Assembly. Brown's spokespeople responded to more than 15,000 calls and postings to the Prime Ministerial website demanding action against Robinson by saying that there's no constitutional authority for a Prime Minister to censure an MP and that individual members are accountable to their electorate for their own comments.
And finally, police in Berlin have been asked to investigate an Arabic language magazine for incitement following its publication of an article titled A Flesh-Eating Bacteria and Sexual Abnormality, warning readers not to shake hands with gays because they could transmit such diseases. One never knows what kind of bacteria and germs are found on them, it said. The article included comments by people the magazine said were authorities on skin diseases and was accompanied by graphic photographs of various skin infections. The LGBT Association of Berlin-Brandenburg filed a complaint with police this week against the free publication Al Salam, which is available in restaurants and cafes throughout the city. Incitement against minorities, including gays and lesbians, is illegal in Germany, but similar allegations have not been prosecuted in the past because some have warned that such actions would infringe on religious freedoms. LGBT activists are calling on leaders of the country's large Muslim community to condemn the article.
And that's News Wrap for the week ending August 16, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Steve Levin.
And I'm Mark Zecca.
This is Queer Voices.
Joining us in the studio, we have two lovely ladies that are representing Assist-Hers.
What about me?
Well, you're always here, so two additional lovely ladies
better.
That are representing Assist-Hers. We have Steph Peacock. Say hello. Hello. And then we have Lynn Schwarzenberg.
Hello.
Hello. And you're the president and vice president, respectively.
No, actually, opposite. Lynn is president, and I am vice president of outreach.
So I've heard of Assist-Hers. What is that?
Assist-Hers is a nonprofit group that was founded in 1996. We have care teams that go out and take care of lesbians who are recovering from illness or injury. So we allow them to recover in their home. Generally, people recover easier in their home. We go in, we do housework, we provide food cards or transportation to their hospital visits if that's a need, a little socialization as well. So we try and just support folks in their own home. Now, all of our clients are lesbians, but all of our volunteers are not necessarily lesbian. We have gay, straight, male, female, everybody. We even have one volunteer whose mom is a volunteer as well. So it's kind of very...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
So how did it get started focusing on lesbians? Was it because of a need for specifically the lesbian community, or how did...
Yeah, I think that there was one friend of a friend...
It always is.
...who had brain cancer, and a group of friends got together just to provide support for this woman and her partner. And after that experience, they realized, you know, there is a need in our community, because there are other lesbians like this that are going through illness, may or may not have family or friend support. So at the time, patterning off of the care teams that the community had put together for the AIDS crisis, they thought that was a very good model. And so they put together the care team approach to address the lesbian community.
Very good. So why are y'all here tonight? I mean, tell us, what do you need? What do our listeners need to get out of tonight's interview?
Well, tonight's interview is really the focus of my role on the board of directors of Assist-Hers. Being an outreach, I reach out to the community to find volunteers to help take care of these ladies.
Volunteers.
Yes, okay. And we're in desperate need for volunteers right now. Over the summer, people tend to go on vacation, you know, maybe drift away a little bit. And we're just very short. The teams that we have right now, most of them are short right now. We have five women who are on the waiting list, and we cannot bring them on until we have more volunteers.
Now tell me about your ideal volunteer, someone that may be listening that may fit the mold. What are you looking for?
Anybody who can donate, say, 8 hours a month, and that 8 hours really entails 4 hours of our second Saturday meeting, which we have at Bering Methodist Church. We also have an education that's open to the public during that meeting, directly after our business. Really, it can be anybody who just wants to donate some time. So the 8 hours is the 4 hours of the second Saturday meeting, and then 4 hours spending with their client.
Now, when they spend time with the client, what are they doing? So that when somebody out there, they're listing, 8 hours, well, that's not so bad. Well, what will I be doing?
Well, I can speak to my experience. I'm actually the team leader of my care team as well. And I go and I visit my client about once a month. I check in with her via phone and email, make sure that she doesn't have any immediate needs. I go over, I vacuum, I dust. Scoop the kitty litter, clean up her kitchen, real general, real light housework. And it's really not that difficult. And I find, I get over there and I start doing the work and I'm just chatting with her as I'm doing it. That 3 or 4 hours flies by very quickly. So it's actually a very fulfilling experience for me to go and visit her every month.
So not only do whatever's needed around the house, as simple as doing some housework or maybe cooking some foods, that sort of thing, but also it's more visitation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You may be the one person they haven't seen in a long time. They look forward to it, probably.
Yeah, a little socialization, because a lot of the folks, if they do have an injury and they are housebound, we may be the only person that they see that week. So, speaking with other clients as well, they quite literally, they have no family or a support system, so they do rely upon the sisters to provide that for them.
That's wonderful work.
Now, you mentioned that you have meetings every second Saturday. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's at Bering?
That's over at Bering Methodist. We meet and start discussing our business. We have team meetings at 8:30. We have announcements. And then we go into something called Circle, where it's sort of like group therapy for the volunteers. We want to make sure that our volunteers are taken care of as well, because it really is, it can be difficult to provide care for somebody else, especially if they've had to deal with a family member or a friend who's had a similar issue. So we want to make sure that our volunteers are healthy and can deal with the issues that are going on. So we meet several teams at a time in a large circle with a facilitator that's either a social worker or a counselor, mm-hmm. and we discuss either something that's going on with the client within the team or with the team members individually. So it winds up being, we all come together and support each other once a month, so it's more formal that way. And then directly after that, we have an education, which our current VP of Education has been putting together a wonderful slate of things. We had a co-branded education this last month with Houston Buyers Club, mm-hmm. about weight loss for women.
Oh, yeah.
We've done general wellness. We've done self-defense. We've done first aid. Coming up, we're going to work with Montrose Counseling Center on mental health. We have Denise Doherty talking about addictions in October.
When will that be?
October, the second weekend in October.
October 11th.
11th. October 11th. Yes, yeah. Actually the day before our Decadent Dessert event.
Oh, that's right. That's it. Oh, what a wonderful event.
We'll get to that.
it's a real sweet event.
I had a question. Now, are the volunteers, are they needed in certain parts of the city, or most of your clients in the Montrose, or are they spread out? Or
a great deal of them are within Loop 610, but we do have a few clients. We've got our North Star teams up going towards Conroe. That we have 3 clients up there. We also have 1 client in the Cypress area, and actually my client's going to be moving to the Cypress area too in the next few weeks. So it's kind of difficult, especially when you're living down here in the hood, to drive all the way out to Cypress to visit a client. So we really do have a great need for anybody who's maybe on the outskirts of town and doesn't get into town a lot and wants to get involved. We can definitely meet that need
so
for you.
So Outer Loop GOBT people, this is for you.
Absolutely.
Get involved with the community in the way that you can. Now, you said that you have a waiting list, so you take in as many as you can handle, and that's it. So
that's
you have 5
correct.
five people on the waiting list now.
That's correct.
Yeah, wow. We have 26 clients that we're taking care of now, and 5 on the waiting list. And it takes anywhere from 4 to 6 volunteers per client, just so you can shuffle around the tasks enough mm-hmm. so they get done, with it. And we are making frequent contact with the clients.
So not only do you have 5 clients on a waiting list and probably more that would like to be there, you need 30 new volunteers to come in so that you can put them on the list.
That would be wonderful. Our greatest problem we would love to have is to have too many volunteers.
I think all nonprofits would like that.
Absolutely.
Now, as a nonprofit, the lifeblood of a nonprofit is raising money,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
so that's a necessary evil. How does the sisters raise money?
Well, we only hold 1 major fundraiser a year, and that's coming up October 12th. It's our Decadent Dessert event. It's going to be at South Beach.
Now tell our listeners, for those who haven't heard of this, what can they expect?
Decadent Dessert, it's actually, we've kind of renamed it as Decadent Dessert and More. It started off as an event where we had different chefs come in and offer a little sampling of different desserts. Well, now it's morphed into being that and a little bit more. We just had a confirmation yesterday from Marini's Original Empanada House, which originally started down here in Montrose in the 1970s and unfortunately burned down in the 80s, that the kids of the owners have gone and reopened it in off of Westheimer near Briar Park, and also a location out in Katy. And they've jumped right in and have agreed to provide lots of tasty empanadas for us this year that are not sweet. Yeah, they're wonderful.
So savory. Yeah.
We have some savory, too.
Yes.
Sweet and savory, both sides.
So, I mean, we're going to have a variety of different chefs. I mean, previously we've had Cafe Adobe, we've had Picados, Baba Yaga's, Da Capo's, Eatsy's, Starbucks, Chocolate Fountain Express. I mean, the list goes on and
those
on.
Those are some good restaurants.
Rainbow Lodge, yeah. Chef Smirnoff. I mean, it's just this amazing variety of cooking talent that we've had in the past, and we're working very hard to have a really nice variety this year as well.
Now, where can our listeners get information about tickets? Is that on your website? Or?
Yeah, www.assisters.org, or you can go to our MySpace site as well, www.myspace.com/assisters. You can contact us through either one of those.
Why don't you spell Assisters for us?
A-S-S-I-S-T-H-E-R-S. It's Assist and Hers, smashed together.
Thank you.
Now, what other benefits do you have going on? You said this was your primary, but do you have any other things?
Well, we throw a softball tournament in the spring every year, so that's already come and gone, and I'm sure they're already preparing for that for next year. The girls are out there practicing batting, so. But we're also the beneficiaries of several different other fundraising groups. Houston Black Tie, Arisi's has been putting on a series of events at Chance's all this month called the King of Kings. It's a drag king contest.
Oh, yeah.
So they've been raising lots of money for us and also for Legacy on that one. Halloween Magic on November 1st at the Hornburger.
Mm-hmm.
The Crew of Olympus has graciously chosen us as a beneficiary this year, too. They have their ball in February, and they have various events throughout the rest of the year.
That's a great group of guys out there.
Mm-hmm. This past year, Bunnies on the Bayou had chosen us. We've been designated by the Hollyfield Foundation. Kindred Spirits has always been a great supporter of us. So we don't get a whole lot of government grants. No government grants. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, did y'all hear that?
Not very many.
No government grants.
Not very many. Being none. Yes.
All dollars have to be raised within the community by either yourselves or other community organizations.
Absolutely. Right. A dollar at a time. Even it really does make a difference.
I see that you're going to be at a upcoming women's festival.
Yes, the Houston Women's Fest at the end of October, the 25th. Yes.
Now, will y'all have like a booth or?
Yeah, we'll have our usual little tent out there and fully staffed with lots of our volunteers. That's an event that's quite easy for us to staff. The ladies like to
yes.
go.
Lots of volunteers for that one, do you?
Absolutely.
Lots of eye candy to look at. All right, so let's recap. We're talking to the president and the VP of Assist Hers, and we're looking for people out there to volunteer for this
VP
wonderful...
VP of Outreach.
Thank you.
of Assist Hers, this wonderful organization to help out the community. So if that's you, I mean, please contact... Should they contact you, Steph, or who should they?
Yeah, they can contact me. They can go to assisters.org and fill out, and we have an online application on there. They can, I believe, contact@assisters.org is the email address they can use.
Okay.
Google Assist Hers, and you will find us.
It doesn't. You've got to know that there's a waiting list for people.
Mm-hmm. So we need
to get the services, and there's not enough volunteers. So that means everybody out there who even has a few minutes, you can go in and take the time, contact the sisters, and see what you can do. You've probably got 8 hours a month. You're probably spending it. An extra hour at some coffee shop that you could spend.
Oh, Jennifer, that's you.
Okay, I'm speaking for myself.
Yes, but help out the community. I mean, this is we're all here together. we all struggling with the same issues, and you know, help out the community, help out these sisters.
Absolutely,
we really
good
appreciate
your
time. Great, thank you so much for having us on tonight.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Queer Voices.
Thy kingdom come to every nation. Thy will be done in everything we do. Lord, lead us now into temptation, but deliver us from those who think they're you. Lord, send us forth to be of service, to build the schools, to dig the well, and deliver us from the creepy preachers with their narrow minds and very wide lapels. Thy kingdom.
Susan Werner from her 2000 CD, The Gospel Truth, and a song called Our Father. This is Queer Voices.
Well, we want to thank everybody who has pledged to KPFT and this show in particular.
Absolutely, thank you.
And make sure you do fulfill your pledges because it's very, very important. We also want to announce that we will be away for the next 2 weeks. They're not sending us to the conventions. Although the Daily Show is going to be there.
We could be there at Queer Voices from the Democratic and Republican conventions.
But there's an upcoming conference on LGBT aging that we hope to be doing some interviews on, because that's a very important topic.
As well as the transgender community.
Yes, and I believe that's being put on with the help of the Montrose Counseling Center in Spry. And I'm looking for the information. There's a registration. It's October 12th, which is right around Coming Out Day. Mm-hmm. There's going to be over 75 sessions, and if you'd like some more information, you can call the Counseling Center at 713-529-0037. That's it's actually SAGE, 4th Annual Elsa National Conference on LGBT Aging, and I guess that's happening here in Houston.
Hmm. Where's it going to be?
I don't know. The registration, we'll get that information to everybody. The registration is not overly cheap, but I'm sure it's going to be well worth it. Upcoming also, we've got an election coming up, of course.
Yes, we do. Only 77 days?
Yes, it's getting closer all the time. if you're interested in volunteering, there's a number of different campaigns you can volunteer on. Obama's not going to win Texas, but there's many, many other. In fact, there was a story today on Channel 13 about the local judges' races. I didn't know this, but the Republican Party of Harris County has raised $2 million to try to keep those incumbents in office. So it's not going to be quite as easy as Dallas in turning it blue. And so that's coming up. We've got in Pride's having some, they're planning for next year. If you're interested in that, you go to pridehouston.org. And I'm trying to see what else we got coming up.
There's always opportunities for volunteers, whether it be with a 501c3, a charitable organization like a Sisters, who we talked with a little earlier, Pride. But if you're a political person, you can always just pick a candidate of your choice and go volunteer and work for them. They always need volunteers. And if you're a GLBT person or others and would like to work with the caucus, you're more than welcome to. We can always use volunteers. You can go to our website, thecaucus.org.
And BCBC up to something?
Well, we have an event coming up. We had just announced it. It's called the Hurricane Party. It's coming up in September, actually the 21st, and we have tickets available from any BCBC member. We selected our beneficiary, and that's going to be Legacy Community Health Services. So it's kind of our fall event, something between Jungle and our holiday party, so to kind of keep everybody festive and have a nice cocktail party outside by a pool. Well, it's still warm, but maybe getting a little bit cooler. You never know in Houston. So, again, that's the Hurricane Party, September 21st. Tickets are available from BCBC members. And you can go to our website, bcbc.info, to find out more.
Are you expecting a hurricane that weekend?
Well, you know, it would be just, like, right, perfect timing, or I guess what, you know.
I mean, that's the heart of the hurricane season.
We would have a blowout party for a great, before the hurricane, hopefully. Hopefully not.
And there's always stuff going on at the community center, and you can go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org to check that out. It's at 3400 Montrose. I guess they are talking about finally doing their move sometime in the future, sometime in the near future, supposedly. And there's a new transgender center opening.
Yes, there is. And
woohoo.
What do you mean?
Well, I think, you know, it's about time.
It's about time. Well, there have been a few false starts putting a center together, and now, you know, that's come to fruition. And, you know, it's something that the city needed so that the transgender community would have a place to go. We've always been part of other services as trans people, but you know it's good to have your own so you can interact with your own people.
It's time to put the T in GLBT.
Absolutely, the T is no longer silent.
The T is not a silent T.
And that's located at 713 Fargo, just north of Fairview, not too far from here.
That's right. Not too far at all.
Right in the hood.
If you'd like some more information, you go to tgctr.org. And that pretty much wraps up everything for this week. We have, for this week's live segment of the show, let's say, we've got Queer Music Heritage coming up in the next hour. And we'll be gone for 2 weeks. We'll be back the second week of September and update you on upcoming things that are going on in the community.
How's our website? Do we have our email up and all?
Well, email works. But the website's not quite up yet.
Well, we do have a group on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, you can go to and join the group on there, Queer Voices Group. And what I've been doing is publishing the That Night Show every Monday afternoon to kind of give our group members and our listeners out there a heads up of what's coming on that week's program.
But we do have an email, and so if you have an event coming up and you want to get it on the next week's show, remember we won't be here for the next 2 weeks, but send an email to Queer Voices, and we'll see if we can get it on during our announcement section.
Yes, at jack@queervoices.org.
All right. Jack@queervoices.org.
One thing I did want to say about our last interview with the Sisters, we forgot to announce that they have a very special guest comedian.
Oh, yeah, the comedian, yes.
Yes, for their decadent desserts. Who is it?
What?
It's the one and only Vicky Shaw.
She's so funny.
She's a lesbian comedian from the Houston area, and she's moving back, or she has moved back. And if you've seen her on Logo or on Comedy Central, she's hilarious, and she's all Southern, and I'm sure she'll be a great addition to the Decadence.
She's a hoot.
She's a Southern lady who likes ladies.
Holler. Absolutely. But she's funny. So consider that. That's Decadent Desserts is on October 12th.
That's right, from 4 to 8 at lovely South Beach. So check it out.
Back at South Beach, huh?
Yes, sir.
And that just about wraps up for Queer Voices, this part of the show, and on to Queer Music Heritage.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
This way. Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and I'm J.D. Doyle. From time to time on Queer Music Heritage, I like to feature songs that don't really fit into any theme. So this is another one of my Songs I've Been Meaning to Play shows. I do this, about once a year, and this is the seventh show of that series, and it's another multi-part show. As a collector and programmer, I encounter so many songs I want to share with you, and I seem to lack the willpower of only producing 1 hour-long show for radio, when I can do several on the internet version of Queer Music Heritage. So you want to check the site for all the parts, over 4 hours this time, which will include some fun interviews and also material that, as I often say, is just not ready for radio. But that opening song was definitely for radio. It was a hit in 1984 for Dan Hartman. Regular listeners know I love the obscure and love to give more exposure to the songs that most people never knew about, as is the case for this next one. Now, there's a Dan Hartman connection here, as Dan sang backup on it. The singer is actually very well known, as he was in a very famous group, but this was his first solo recording, back in 1982. Now, if you're listening to this show from the website, you already know who the artist is, but I'll keep my radio listeners guessing until after the song.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
Cowboy of Village People, coming to you direct from New York's Greenwich Village, and you are listening to Queer Music Heritage.
That version of Pretty Woman was done by Randy Jones, of course, of the Village People, and I bet you never heard his version on the radio. I'm right away going to one of the oldest songs on the show. Back in the 60s in England, it seemed that most of the major record producers and managers were gay. From Brian Epstein to Andrew Oldham, Joe Meek, and Jonathan King. One of this group was Simon Napier Bell, and the artists he worked with ranged from Dusty Springfield, the Yardbirds, Wham, and many others. In 1970, he produced a band called Fresh, and their album called Out of Borstal was one of the first to be released on a major label, in this case RCA, to have songs lyrically dealing with homosexuality. Borstal is the name the English give to their juvenile prisons, so perhaps that lent itself to the subject matter. From the album, I picked the song And the Boys Lazed on the Veranda. Here's the band, Fresh.
And the boys lazed on the veranda, watched by hungry eyes, never doubting the attraction of the sunburned thighs. And up for you, little girl. Now you watch him point his finger, and the boy will come, swaying gently for a purpose, sucking on his thumb. Smiling, so obedient, no, he's not his son. Can't you see from the way he's standing what will soon be done? Now they're leaving the veranda for a quiet place. There's no reason to be uptight. It's quite commonplace.
They're not for you.
Here's an artist I just met this year, Amy Myers, and I quite admire her work. I got her to give me these comments about a song from her 2004 album, Strange and Beautiful. I heard her do this live and knew immediately I wanted to play it on this show. The name of the song is Girls Like You.
Girls Like You is a song about a long-distance relationship that I was in, the girl that I was involved with was in a 4-year relationship. I was single, not a good match, but I fell head over heels, got sucked in, and she was never really available, as you really can't be available. Even if you've fallen out of love with whoever you're with, you're not available to this new person. So we played this song and danced for probably a year and a half, and when we finally separated and that was it and I was able to move on, I wrote this song, Girls Like You. And Girls Like You is a venting song, but not a venting song towards the ex-girlfriend, but more of, it's like, oh, here we go again. Everybody has that person that they get sucked into at some point in their life. And this was my venting tirade of a song.
Thank you.
followed Amy Myers with a new artist, Anna Gutmanis, and her very out song, I Am Who I Am. Up next is another artist who just released her debut album, and while I'm not generally drawn to hip-hop, I think she's excellent. Her name is Melange Lavon. I love her song, Gay Bash, and you'll hear her talk about it after you hear the song.
Gay Bash is a fictional character about a boy named Kevin who was murdered for being gay. And when I went to gaycrime.org, I had no idea how many people have been murdered for just being themselves. So I thought it was a song that needed to get out there, and I needed to do.
Beautiful. You wrote the lyrics, right?
Yeah, I wrote the lyrics, yeah.
Did you write the music?
My producer and my cousin, his name is King Beats. He wrote the music.
That song that runs behind that is so haunting.
Yes. When I hear a song, this is how I work. I hear a song, I hear the track, and these emotions come out, and I'm able to write on top of the track. And I feel like these emotions are from people talking through me. God is using me to send out these messages. And you know, when I'm in a studio and I record these songs that are emotional to me, I cry. I mean, it's easy for me to cry when I hear the track and the song and the lyrics on top of the track combined, because it's just so moving to me. And like I said, I think God is using me. So to hear my lyrics come out the way they do, sometimes it's not a reality for me. It's just like, where is this coming from? It just can't be just coming from me. There's something, there's another force out there that's telling me, okay, this is what you need to talk about.
And I'll also like to hear about your song, Marry Me.
Marry Me, basically, for all the couples out there who want to get married. I wrote the song about being in love with someone and getting on one knee and asking for their hand in marriage. Basically, it's just a love song. And you know, I definitely want it to be legal everywhere. And this is the next video we're going to do.
Is it your story?
No, it's not my story. I'm single right now. I definitely would love to meet my soulmate. And when I do, I'd love to marry her and have kids and live the American dream. So when you hear that song, basically, it's for the person that I'll meet in the future.
This song goes out to love. It's something that's so, so overwhelmingly beautiful. So I decided to write this song for you.
Sentiments. So I thought I'd write this and make it more intimate. In the past relationships I've been through, it taught me to become a better person for you. So now that I'm grown and I've learned on my own that love is a place that you and I can call home. So in love with you, you don't even have to question. Love your flaws all the way down to imperfection. I have a confession, you are amazing. It took me 30 years, but certainly worth the waiting. My heart's gonna explode from overload. The type of love that flows over till we grow old. I gotta say thank you for giving me this, because your love is a beautiful, wonderful gift. In my entire life, I feel I could do anything with you by my side. I will always provide whatever you need, and I will be your strength anytime you're feeling weak. You're my best friend, so I could tell you anything, and I hope you do the same, disregarding all the games. Cause I ain't going playing with you, and the decisions I make, I gotta consider the consequences too. Never being faithful, it wouldn't be worth breaking your heart all because I wanna do dirt. So I won't, and I can't never be part of the plan, so I'm letting you know exactly where it is I stand. You're so beautiful in every single way. everything that ain't. Me writing this is the picture that I paint, and I'm giving you my heart, so baby, you take the reins.
Let's do this for real,
'cause you're the love of my life, and I wanna do this right. With the wrong person, so I'm thinking I'ma be alone the rest of my life. Then you come into my world, all the rules that I made in the past, all of a sudden they no longer apply. I never felt this way, I try to define. Got me to put it on paper and write a nice rhyme. Knew it was love, my heart, yeah, you caught mine. I wanna be with you in a span of a lifetime. I got so much to say and do, but I want you by my side so I can do it with you. Even though I'm a whole person, you are my other half. Without you walking the right path, the right person to start a family with, I'll admit to the world you got me with. You're my soulmate, the first time I met you I knew it, and this feeling that I have, yes, I'm holding on to it.
Let's do this for real, 'cause
you're the love of my life, and I wanna do this right.
Melange Lavon from her debut album from this year called The Movement. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history has a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. probably how most of you remember Sylvester, one of our biggest dance music stars. You heard a quick medley of Dance Disco Heat, You Make Me Feel Mighty Real, and, with Patrick Cowley, Do You Wanna Funk, spanning the years 1978 through 1982. Sylvester died of AIDS in 1988. Some of you may not know that before his disco hits in the late 70s, he was successful from the early 70s with more R&B and funk-oriented material. And that's where this next piece of musical trivia comes in. In 1973, there was an anti-drug campaign put on by an organization around then called NAPRA, the National Association of Progressive Radio Announcers. And they got many of the major stars of the day to do PSAs, public service announcements. They released them on an album called Get Off, which was not sold to the public, as it was for use only by stations, so that they could drop in these PSAs by the likes of Stevie Wonder, Dionne Warwick, Ringo Starr, B.B. King, The Eagles, Jim Croce, and on, 44 in all. I'm kind of surprised that they considered Sylvester, years before his first hit, prominent enough to contribute, but they did. So here's the rare anti-drug PSA from 1973 by Sylvester and his hot band. And it'll be followed by a song you may not expect from him.
Hi, Sylvester and the Hot Band. Girl, how do you expect to wear those strapless dresses with all those tracks in your arms? I mean, you can cover them up with opera-length gloves, but that ain't gonna do the trick. You ought to find something else to do with your arms, like...
Check this. This is gonna make you laugh. Goes like this. Come on.
That was Cabaret, and it was taken from a concert filmed in a nightclub in 1985, recently released on DVD. Other songs included Stormy Weather, Where or When, Night and Day, and Lover Man. Definitely not his typical musical fare. A side comment. To my dismay, Sylvester never recorded anything that I would consider lyrically gay, even though he often performed in full drag, as he did for this concert. He seemed to deliberately avoid that, and as an example, in the song Lover Man, instead of singing Lover Man, Oh Where Can You Be, it was just Lover, Oh Where Can You Be. And times change. To make that point clear, here's a song by Adam Joseph called Faggoty Attention from 2007. And he's released several mixes of this song. I'm giving you a little of his a cappella version and then the radio one.
Give in to temptation. You don't have to go home alone. Get into it. I see you acting like you're talking on your phone, but boy, I know what. I know what you're missing tonight. You're big and so strong. You need a little brother to boss around and play fight. You can hold me down, I'll let you in. Don't pull me too close or I'll pull you in. I can tell you like attention. That's just the thing that I'm giving.
Attention,
baby, let me make you feel right with my
faggoty attention.
Baby, all I need is the night. I'll change your life, and I won't ask, won't tell. Promise you won't go to hell tonight. We'll go back to Brooklyn, get it cooking. Don't you worry, no one's looking.
Right now, and you're falling into my plan. You can get rough, boy. I ain't no girl. I can take it like a man. And all your questions, they can all be answered tonight. Hope you're ready, 'cause you ain't never had it this tight.
Do this?
Yeah, man. Seriously. Let's dive in, man. Come on. Stop messing around. Let's get serious, man.
I live in a glass house. I'm the pot that called the kettle black. I'm your closest enemy. I'm the fattest monkey on your back. When you look in the I am the face you see. reflection, you try to cheat. Faggotry personified, true to your name. Faggotry personified, we're one in the same.
So say in the place to be, dropping the joint with my man Frankie. You're looking so good that you're a chick magnet. The ladies want to have it, but you're just a faggot.
I am the man you patronize. I am the feeling you won't admit. I'm the person people usually notice when you work so hard at being glib. You often scoff at men that you despise, because I'm the face you see. It's a face you think you hide. It's a reflection you try to cheat. Faggotry personified, true to your name. Faggotry personified, we're one in the same.
Hey yo, who you are and where you at? It's all a lie, cause you're such a scaredy cat personified. Man, you can barely act, it's coming across to me as barely whack. When it's fitted on a joint, then I tear the track. Removing on my lid till I bam my back. Will you keep all your thoughts in the cul-de-sac? Or pocket it away in the shoulder pack? Why don't you just admit all your wholesome dreams to yourself? Cause no one else sees and knows these things until you're ready. So when the votes decree, get on your own too, buddy, and post the D. Finally, you'll stop being the lonely breed, and privacy will no longer be your only need. Feeling trapped in the box, then homie, please reach out, cause we have another phony
team. It's not what you do, brother, it's what you say that points every arrow back to you. It's not who you fool, brother, it's when you kid yourself. Everybody else sees the truth. Faggotry personified, true to your name.
Faggotry
personified, we're one in the same.
Frank Grimaldi.
That's me.
So say the elemental wizard.
That's you.
This is a Think Big production.
Yes, it is.
We out, man.
Yep, where we go?
Be easy. Just be yourself.
That's the problem.
I went from faggoty attention to faggotry personified. That was from Balance, the 2004 album by Frank Grimaldi. And helping him out was an artist who bills himself, as you heard, as So Say the Elemental Wizard. I think it's a crime that this next act is not more well known. Rick Burkhart and Andy Grisevich call themselves the Prince Mishkins, and they do marvelous political satire on a variety of subjects. They've released two albums, and from their first in 2000 is the song Let Me Into the Military.
Don't let me swim in your pools. Don't let me teach in your schools. Don't let me display my affections in public like all of you slobbering fools. Don't sit beside me at meals. Don't give me insurance deals. Don't convict skinheads who beat up my friends. And if you do, grant them lots of appeals. Leave all my needs in the lurch while you argue about me in church. Don't pretend to respect me, but rather subject me to warped scientific research. Wrap me in reels of red tape. Declare that my brain's the wrong shape, which explains my perversion, this unmanly aversion to stag parties, football, and rape. But please, let me into the military, let me into the military. I can be dull and reactionary. Why discriminate?
let me into the military. I won't be your mercenary. It's a long way to Tipperary. Take me along as freight. Don't even admit I exist unless you're an evangelist. I can endure being ignored and obscured if you'd please, please, please let me enlist. Don't pass my civil rights bill. Do write me out of your will. Continue to quarrel about whether I'm moral enough to maim, slaughter, and kill. I'll be the model recruit. I'll steady my wrist when I shoot to save the armed forces some valuable resources. I won't use the camp prostitute. I'll keep my hair neatly shorn. I'll promise you my firstborn. And if something seems queer, it will not be my spirit. I'll try to get off on the porn. So please, let me into the military. Let me into the military. I want a glorious obituary, just like someone straight. Let me into the military. I want to augment my vocabulary with words like faggot, fruit, and fairy. Oh boy, it's gonna be great. Let me into the military. Let me into the military. I mean, come on. If all these anti-gay rights bills get passed, I guess it's probably the only job I'm going to be able to get. Not to mention that the military is, of course, the most openly homoerotic organization in the U.S. today, with the possible exception of the advertising industry. Maybe I could get a job there. Well, not in Colorado, though. You see, what my pastor always said about me was that I basically lacked discipline.
Again, that was the Prince Mishkins, and you can visit their website to see how they got their name. We only have time for one more song, but remember, I have additional parts of this show ready for you to listen or download from my site, and they include interview clips from a number of artists. That's found at www.queermusicheritage.com, and if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage. Now for the last song. Ian Levine is a gay songwriter and producer from England, well known for his disco hits. Just to name two, So Many Men, So Little Time by Miguel Brown and High Energy by Evelyn Thomas. He considers one of his latest productions to be the most important gay record of his career. He picked a song created by Charles Aznavour in 1972, which is from the perspective of a female impersonator, and poses to the audience some interesting and challenging questions. It's also been recorded by Mark Allman, among others, and it's a song I quite admire, this time done with a dance beat. And Ian Levine chose an openly gay English singer and actor to do it, named George Daniel Long. The song is What Makes a Man a Man.
We live alone, a grand apartment is our home. In film towers, I have to keep me company. Two cats, a dog, a parakeet, some plants and flowers. At night I work in a strange bar, impersonating every star. I'm quite deceiving. The customers come in with doubt and wonder what I'm all about. But leave believing. Each night the men look so surprised. I change my sex before their eyes. Tell me if you can what makes a man a man. So many times we have to pay for having fun and being gay. It's not amusing. There's always those who spoil our games by finding fault and calling names. Always accusing. They draw attention to themselves at the expense of someone else. It's so confusing. Yet they make fun of how I talk and imitate the way I walk. Tell me if
you can, but makes a man a man. My masquerade comes to an end when I go home to bed again, alone and friendless. I close my eyes and think of him and fantasize what might have been. My dreams are endless. We love each other, but it seems love lives only in my dreams. It's so one-sided. But in my life, I must confess, the search for love and happiness is unrequired. I ask myself, what have I got? And what I am and what I'm not? What am I giving? Then answers come from those who make the rules and some of us must break. Just to keep living. I know my life is not a crime. I'm just a victim of my time. I stand defenseless. Nobody has the right to be the judge of what is right for me. Tell me if you can, what makes a man a man? What makes a man a man?
You have been listening to Queer Voices. Heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
KPFT is having a town hall meeting to hear listeners' views, needs, and concerns, and we invite you to come and share your ideas with us. The meeting is Wednesday, August 20th, from 6 to 8 p.m. Our local station board meeting will follow immediately afterwards, and you are always welcome to attend it, too. The town hall meeting will take the place of the listener comment period at this month's LSB meeting. We'll have a short briefing at 6 p.m. from KPFT management and committee chairs to update you on what's going on at KPFT. After this, we want to hear what's on your mind concerning how to make KPFT better. Both written and verbal comments are welcome. We'll also have some light refreshments. Again, the KPFT town hall meeting is this Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. at Alliance Française, 427 Lovett Boulevard, next door to KPFT. This is KPFT, Houston.
KPFT and the Center for the Healing of Racism invite you to join us on Tuesday, August 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Paul's United Methodist Church for the first in a series of community discussions on race and the key issues that keep us from true community. The program will be held in the Fondren Hall at St. Paul's, located across from the Museum of Fine Arts. Easy free parking is available across Fannin Street from the church. Join us for this first in a series of community dialogues on the key issues that keep us from manifesting.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.